privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee.
Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee.
Kneel before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee. In his hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him, when I humbly seek his face and bow the knee.
Bow the knee.
Before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee,
bow the knee.
He is King
of all the ages, bow the knee.
As you live to love him more, bow the knee,
bow the knee,
bow the knee.
Till all the ransomed church.
saved to sin no more. Yes, since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing womb supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue
driven on the restless sea of time, somber skies and howling tempest all succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist has rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we'll understand it better by and by. Thank you. praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us
for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. All right. I hope you're doing well this Wednesday afternoon, 2 p.m. Central Time, a little bit after 2 p.m., maybe 2:01 or maybe 2:02. No, this says 2 o'clock right on my phone. So I got it right. I started about 15 minutes early and got some good hymns in there for you. And before we got started, Carl, you might not be that far off with the kooky stuff, because we actually are going to look at some of these churches today and some of the things going on with COVID right now in what I have to be honest with you and say that the bulk of this is nothing more, in my opinion, than a scam. Now, of course, I do believe people are getting sick from something, and I do believe that no one ever reports who died of the flu this year. Apparently, nobody's died from the flu this year, but anyway. The point is that it seems like to me that it's not a mask, but a muzzle. And it's designed to really muzzle the Lord's churches. There's a paradigm shift with all of this that I'm seeing. And, you know, it's interesting to me that what the Lord had me do when I restarted my broadcast of doing online work, I restarted it and I really separated it from my services, from OPBC, our church services, that is, and our Assembly of the Saints as we come together. Now, it's under the ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church, but OPBC Online is an outreach ministry that I do as the pastor to people online. And what I have done is I have decided a long time ago, the Lord led me. The Lord led me to look at that and to make the differentiation between OPBC online ministries and trying to reach people out there and to deal with current affairs and deal with all those other things. But then the difference between feeding the flock of God which is among me and taking the oversight thereof and dealing with the flock itself separately. Now, that doesn't mean we don't put sermons online and things like that. It means that we don't go live with all those things. I don't put the church on spot, so to speak. The church's affairs aren't put online. And all of those things. Well, the Lord led me to separate those two because I want people to understand very fully that OPBC Online is a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church of Northfield, Minnesota. But Old Paths Baptist Church assembles as a church together, and they are a specific local New Testament church. And we are a Old Paths Baptist Church. The members of Old Paths Baptist Church are subject one to another, are accountable one to another, and in that sense, our outreach is not confused with our assembly. See, we kind of, God led us to draw those lines, led me to, and I didn't know why, but as I see the things that are coming up right now, I can see why that is the case. I'm watching what's happening right now, and I'm going to show you an article, and people that are absolutely ignorant of church doctrine. Now, I will say this, and it's sad when you see Baptists ignorant of church doctrine, because historically, Baptists were always strong on what the local church was, on the purpose of the church, on the organization of the church, on the ordination of the church, and all those other things. Now, I'm giving you a background so you understand where I'm going with this. I'm laying a foundation of understanding for you. Let me tell you that my desire for you out there in YouTube land, out there all over the world, is that you would have what we have here at Old Paths Baptist Church. That you would have the love and the fellowship and the care of a shepherd and the care of the sheep and the fellowship of the saints, the discipline, the order, and the blessing of a unified body. My desire is to never replace that for you. Now, I would love if God would allow me to be a part of helping you start one. I would love for that to happen. To be involved with ordaining some men and some people, some men across the world even, to help them in church planting and to start a church and to get a work going wherever they are. Now, Luke James, let me just break here. Luke James is asking me a question. What you think of Steven Anderson's sons getting into trouble? Number one, it's none of my business. Number two, you ought to pray for his sons. Whatever differences I have with Steven Anderson, I wish no ill upon his family, upon his church, or upon any of his people. And I pray that all is well as far as that goes. I don't agree with his doctrine, but I sure don't agree with bringing his kids into the middle of something and putting their lives online and having somebody talk about it. If you're into that internet fodder and you want to play with an internet soap opera, then you might as well just exit out of my broadcast, because I have absolutely zero amount of patience to bash somebody else's children. Those are somebody's kids. And if they're having spiritual struggles, then pray for them. I have zero comment to make about it. Somebody brought it to my attention, and I don't rejoice in the fall of any of my enemies or anything like that. God has worked that out of me. I have absolutely no desire to see anything bad happen to anybody's children. I've had a bunch of scumbucket wicked devils try to bring my little children into something online and broadcast stuff about my children and everybody else online and act like they were doing something great and act like they, by the way, it was all lies anyway, but act like they were doing something great, and it was all made up garbage and nonsense, twisted, satanic, wicked garbage from the pit of hell. And whatever truth may have been in something as far as any concerns, they had none, that's for sure. It was all about bashing somebody's children, all about bashing me, all about bashing the truth that I represent. So I've been through that. I've seen that before, and I felt the sting of people trying to do all that garbage. And I have absolutely zero amount of comment for anything that's going on. Somebody brought to my attention, and I love that brother that brought to my attention in private, but you know what? I have no interest in it. I didn't I clicked on something that showed a video that somebody was going to talk about it. I did not listen to their comments about it. I just read the comment section for about 3 seconds. And that three, well, maybe 10 seconds or 20, whatever it was, I don't know, a minute. But all I needed to know was that it's none of my business, number one, and I feel bad that any second-rate loser is going to take somebody's children, put them online, and show something they might have done wrong. Don't get a spirit like that, friend. Don't get a spirit like that. Don't be dragging people's children into things and putting them online and talking about them and saying, look here, and all this other stuff. Don't do that. You pray for those children. You pray for that family. Don't get yourself caught up in any of that nonsense. Don't get yourself caught up in any of that. I don't want anything to do with it. It's none of my business. Somebody's personal life and their family is none of their business. Now, could it be the business of whatever that Baptist church is called that he's a member of? That he's the pastor of, a member of? Yes. It's their business. But it isn't our business. It isn't any of our business. Children make foolish decisions sometimes. And I don't know what any of those are, but they do. And that's why they have to be governed, and that's why we have to help them through it, and that's why we have to teach them through it. Authorized Mike, I'm certainly okay with you just getting rid of that, because for some reason, Luke James, whatever that name is, there is somebody absolutely fascinated with people's children, and I find that really strange. He's always asking questions about somebody's children, and I think it's weird. And I don't have any desire to know about it. Sarah asked me, what if you're giving money to that church? That's your business. That's absolutely your business if you want to give money to that church or not. If you don't like the answer that person gives you, then you could stop that. You know what happened to me years ago? A bunch of people used to give to this ministry, and they believed a bunch of lies about it, and they believed a bunch of things about it that weren't true, and they stopped giving. Big deal. Did I owe them an explanation? No. Not about private matters of a church. It's none of their business. If you want to come here, be a member here, submit yourself to local New Testament church, submit yourself to baptism. There's only one horn that I play to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, his trumpet from heaven. That doesn't mean I don't love you, and that doesn't mean I won't ask, I'll let you ask me a question or anything else. But when it comes to private matters of a church, when it comes to private matters of a family, it ain't none of your business. It just ain't none of your business. And the day you think it is means that you're not giving because you're fed through that ministry, but you're giving because you think somebody owes you something. That's not a personal point at you, Sarah. I'm speaking generally, okay? That's a general, okay? That's a general observation. But you know what? Let me say something. Out of all the stuff that I went through and all the stuff that God brought this church through, I'm going to tell you something. I'm still here doing what God's called me to do, and ain't a one of them ever stopped God's work from being done. All they did was be used of God to make me a better preacher, a better Christian, a better follower of Christ in God's word. They made me 10 times better. God used the affliction and the trials and the tribulations and everything else to weed out anything in me that didn't need to be here, to destroy any flattery or anything else, and to make me only crave what God had for me and his pleasure and nobody else's. That's just the truth. You know what? By God's grace, we started this church. And once we separated from our sending church, we pretty much had zero in the bank account from them at all, period. I never took 501c3. I never took a tried to take a guaranteed salary. I never played their budgetary games like corporate 501c3 churches do. I never played any of those games, and God has always taken care of me. I have never been in want for anything. God has always met my every need every time I needed it. You know what happened to me today? I walk in this door, and through that slot right there, I open it up, and there's a priority mail envelope. Inside that priority mail envelope, marked to me, is over $300 cash. Yep. Somebody from not even around here. Somebody from all the way out in California. So, you know what? I mean, I don't want to ever be in a position as a church that if I do a ministry online and give my time to people online for the benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his ministry, I don't want to ever think I owe somebody something on there that I don't. I owe you the truth, and I owe you love. That's what I owe you. I don't owe you anything else. Nope. And that's just the way it is. And I thank God for it. And sometimes that stuff makes people mad. But I'm going to tell you what. If I was one of these toe-kissing preachers and I end up being that way, I won't be of any use to God at all. None. Whatsoever. But you know something? There are people across the country and the world, by the way, the world, that God has used to be a blessing. But by the way, that's one of the ways that churches are muzzled, by the way, and pastors are muzzled and people are muzzled. Money. People will use money to muzzle the preacher sometimes. That's why you can't love it. That's why you can't love it. And I say this, please understand, I'm saying this because I know what the wounds are like of total strangers to really have nothing idea of the context of what is going on. But for some puke, some sick, wicked puke, to put something online, some emissary of Satan to put something online, very personal details about your family, however twisted they may be in lies, put that online and have total strange people that have no idea anything about your family make assumptions, totally ditch you, walk away from you, say great things about you one day, and the very next day to curse your name before the whole world. I've seen it happen. So I know what that's like. So I hate to see anybody's children dragged into something like that and have somebody talk about it and act like they know the whole situation. That's right, Andrea. Children have many trials to go through. Young people have many trials to go through, and they need guided and directed. And when there's a mistake, they have to be corrected for it. You know, it's funny. I wasn't even planning on talking about this, but somebody brought that up. But then I'll be done and get on to my broadcast here, the rest of it. But let me give you some practical advice, if you'll take it. Whether you'll take it or not, I'll give it to you anyway. You should never be surprised at the depth of depravity of a child. After all, they came from you. So, parents, I don't get surprised at the depravity of a child. What we do is, we learn to care for them the right way. We teach them discernment and wisdom. They learn that. Okay? They don't come out with it. They have to be taught it. And you can't have just stone cold standards on everything without teaching, explanation, practical application, time to explain it through, sitting down, slowing down, talking to them. All of those things are important for our children. That we don't shove a bunch of rules at them without explaining and teaching them and guiding them and nurturing them through this time of their lives. That is so vitally important. Right? Let's see. I hope that you don't forget about this series. This isn't put in here yet. I got to change this. But Keeping the Kids series. This was the newest one a few weeks ago. Discipline and Older Children. I hope that you don't just listen to the broadcasts that talk about the stuff that's going on in the world and all that stuff, and you're not listening to the practical applications of things for your family, for your children, for your grandchildren, guiding the home, and all of those things that are vitally important. I notice on sermon audio, I can have top 50 hits on, you know, many sermons and many things. And then, you know, on other things, not so much. But some of those practical things are way better than even the broadcast in that sense. And I'm concerned for people. I'm concerned for their children. You know, God really opened my heart up to that again, by the way, that God had a purpose for me preaching Keepers at Home and all of those things. And the purpose of that is unfolding before our eyes as we have a church of 35 children. 5 of them, which were baptized last week upon their profession of faith in Christ. And I have such a unique ministry in that sense that they are our disciples. We may not have 30 other adults out there to disciple, but we have 35 children in the midst of Old Paths Baptist Church, and it is incumbent upon us that we disciple them well. Because they will be the future church planters, the godly wives, the godly mothers, the godly tradesmen. They will be that one day by God's grace if we teach them, if we guide them and direct them. See, that's God's design. Yeah, none of that's any of my business. I don't want to know anything about what anybody's doing with anything else. I got enough to do with my own life, my own family, my own work that I have to do. And that's why training our children and discipling them is so important. And that's why the assembly of the church is so important. I do not recommend you trying to raise your family outside of the Lord's church. I recommend you being in a local New Testament church, serving the Lord, following faithfully, and raising your children for the Lord in that church. I recommend that because that's God's plan. It's the way that he designed it, and I recommend it. I don't either, Lisa. I'm with you, sister. I don't want to know what they said. First, number one, I don't want that in my mind. I don't need it in my mind. I don't need to know that. You pastor people long enough and you will hear the scariest, most terrible things in your mind. You go through anxiety and depression in very dark times. You will hear the most blasphemous and wicked things go through your mind. I've had enough of that. I don't need any more of that in my mind. I know how dark depravity can get. So, I wish those children well. I pray God does a mighty work and he takes care of them. I pray that that will be well. All will be well with them. I have no vengeance or any desire for any vengeance against Steven Anderson or his family or anything else. I hope he's fine. I don't agree with his doctrine. I believe he's wrong. But I wouldn't want anything to happen to his children. I wouldn't want anything to happen to him. And I sure wouldn't want it to be used for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme against God. I wouldn't want that at all. You know, I wouldn't. And neither should you or I. Or neither should you. You shouldn't want that at all for anybody. Not your worst enemy. The Bible says love your enemies. And to do good to them who persecute you. So, you won't hear anything out of me about it. I won't say a word about it. So anyway, but I thank the Lord for all of you out there. I really do. Yeah, Mike. That's good, Sarah. That's good to hear. I'm glad you're saved. Okay, now, kind of segues into that, the importance. I think Satan is definitely trying to destroy the Lord's churches. I believe that, you know, his goal is to destroy the Lord's church. And I think it's, let me see if it's here. I think it's the other one. I think it's this one. And I think he's using this COVID. I think he's using this COVID to do so. But I think, see, a lot of times trials and controversies, what they do is they bring out the worst in us. It's interesting. Tonight I'm going to be talking about, I'm only going to get through one verse in Acts chapter 11 tonight. We're going to be dealing with one verse on persecution. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. You know, and, you know, go through a little bit of that. Let's see. Wow, I don't even remember that one. Baptist, a prophecy of persecution. Wow. I don't even remember preaching that. Isn't that something? Anyway, I did. So anyway, but I want to talk to you. I've talked a little bit about it before. Wow, it's been a long time, though. A year ago, let's see, it would be 2020. Wow, so that's been a while. Oh, I just did a little broadcast on it, looks like. Didn't really talk much about it. Well, anyway, good. So I'm going to talk about that anyway tonight. What was I going to... Let's see. the Southern Baptist Convention, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention has a church called Summit Church. I mean, he's a Southern Baptist and won't even use the Baptist name, which is, you know, kind of tacky. Big coward. But anyway, Greer has decided that he's basically, and we talked about this guy before. Remember this guy? We won't play it all. We won't play it all because it's extremely gay. It is the definition of gayer than AIDS. But I simply must remind you who this guy is. The president of the Southern Baptist Convention, who I call J.D. Queer. Oh my goodness. They want to feel the heat with somebody. I'm sorry. I don't like mega churches either, but there's a Oh no. I'm sorry. I can't take that. Oh, I can't believe that's real. Oh, I want to show you a picture. This is terrible. Oh. Oh, okay. So all I want to show you is that if this guy okay, if that guy ran into this guy, the founder of the Southern Baptist Convention, B.H. Carroll. I swear this guy would take out a sword and shove it right through that guy's loins. And I am not kidding you. I think he would straight up cut that guy's head off, man. I mean, it's just... Oh. Oh. Okay, so. Oh. Oh my goodness. Okay, so this guy is trying to tell you what to do with church now. He supported the Black Lives Matter movement, though he says he doesn't support the organization. His church has marched alongside them while chanting their Marxist slogans. Greer has stated that it's fine for Christians to vote for pro-abortion Democrat candidates. Right? Greer has compromised on homosexuality, giving standing ovation to ex-lesbian lady preachers who has no other qualifications in the ministry except for her sin, has stated that homosexuality isn't as big a deal as to God as greed, has called on Christians to stand up for LGBTQ rights, has said we should use preferred pronouns. He's basically a fruit booty. You know, years ago, I had some lady get mad at me when I called them homosexuals fruits and fruit booties. Her and her husband got mad at me. But they are fruits. They are sods. They are queers. That's what they are. They are effeminate. They hate God. Plain and simple. So he's going to split his mega church up. Right? And which obviously we don't agree with mega churches. The problem is churches have elders, churches have teachers, churches have pastors that instruct the body. They have an order, they have discipline, they have everything else. You don't just start meeting in a house and say, well, that's a church. Now, a church can meet in a house, yes. We've met in fields. You could meet anywhere. But it's ordered according to the scriptures. There's an office, there's ordination, there's discipline. See what he has to say. We'll probably just skip through a lot of the dumb stuff he says, which is probably most of it, by the way.
Hey, Summit family, thank you for joining us this evening. We know that you're probably at home with, I know that you have kids. Probably it's hard to steal away for a few minutes here, but I think we got some really important things to talk about as we just try to sense what God is doing and where he's taking us next. I'm up here by myself, but what I'm going to share with you has not been done, certainly, by myself. Just a lot of leaders thinking through this and trying to discern what the Spirit of God is saying to us at this time. I'd love just to start out for a moment with us taking some time to pray. And in fact, why don't you just bow your heads right there at your TV or your computer screen or wherever you are. And let's just take a minute and let's pray together. Bye.
Why does he seem so fake to me? Like that's not even real.
Your heads. The verse called you to be a blessing. That he has appointed you to go and bear fruit. That he has appointed you not to be somebody who causes harm to others, but somebody who brings joy and goodness to others. Father, in these promises that you have just saturated my heart with the past few days, Father, I felt both encouragement and warning. Warning that what you've begun in the Spirit, whether it's my own salvation, whether it's things you're doing in my family or things you're doing in the church, that these are not things that can be perfected by the flesh. And I will just confess to you that it is very easy for me to start thinking, okay, what does good leadership look like here? And what are the right calculated decisions? And thinking that if we just get the smartest people in the room and put our heads together, we'll figure it out.
No! You just look at the scriptures and you obey the Bible. He's already given it to you. It just baffles the mind here. These guys act like they have these like serious and crucial decisions to make.
God, I reject that right now. God, I testify, I confess that is an evil assumption, that you began this work and you've got to complete it. So we are as desperate and helpless in our approach to this as we have ever been. And God, what you've begun in us, we pray that you would finish. Father, that's the encouragement, that he that began a good work is going to complete it, that he who called you is faithful. He not only called us, but he also will do it. that you didn't appoint this church to flounder. You didn't anticipate this season that we're in. You knew it was coming, and you have provided every grace and every resource, not just for us to survive, Father, but for us to thrive, to continue, God, to press the gates of hell that will not be able to hold us out. So, Spirit of God, we are like the king in the book of Chronicles that says, we don't know exactly what to do, but our eyes are on you. We're going to follow the Holy Spirit. Show us, even in these moments, let us just sense your leadership. I pray that there be wisdom and understanding. And God, individually, as people listen to this and they think about their families, they would understand what you are doing, that it is a wonder, that we are going to see things in our generation that we did not know were possible. And we're going to shake our heads the way you promised Zechariah. And we're going to say, none of us even knew the mighty things that you were up to. We ask this, God, together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are three things I want to do for you tonight, and we'll try to my best to keep it as brief as possible here for probably 40, 45 minutes, I think it'll take us to get through these three sections. First of all, I wanted you just to hear and celebrate some of the great things that God has been doing. We'll use the language of closed with the church. You know, the church is still closed. The church has never been closed. The church is not dependent on doors being opened or physical facilities being available. The church is a group of people, and the church has been being the church. And I want you to hear from some of our leaders, just three of them in particular, what God is doing, and so that you would be encouraged. There's testimonies will be brief. Then I want to talk to you about a couple of tension points in the church that have caused division and some confusion and in our church, and talk about really what's happening in those and where we may have not done things correctly, and also where we see God taking us in the future on these. That'll be in section two. And then,
you know, it's interesting to me because I'm not going to play you this whole boring thing because this guy's boring. But anyway, Summit Church, Homestead Heights, North Carolina, Homestead Heights Church Incorporated, Durham, North Carolina, received $2 to $5 million. $2 to $5 million from the bailouts, from the let's see. This is Wes Morgan. You know, they received millions of dollars. Let's see. Let me show you what I'm looking at here. Trying to make sure that's the same one. They have a lot of campuses. Capitol Hills campus. Alamance County campus. So it looks like they have, there's a few different Summit churches, but I think this is his. I think this is his, but I'm not 100% sure. But I'm sure they received a ton of money. But what is his goal? What is he trying to do? Well, what he's trying to do is basically break his church up. He wants to break his church up and not assemble as a church. That's what they want to do. So a lot of these churches, what they're doing is they're not meeting. These mega churches, a lot of these bigger churches, they're not even meeting. But they're still collecting their online money. They're still collecting all of those other things. But they're not assembled as a church. And what's really going on with this COVID is churches are being discouraged to assemble, and they're being paid to be pacified through all these things, to sell out their liberty for 10 shekels and a shirt. And that's really what's going on here. If a church doesn't assemble, it's not sitting as a church. You know what convicted me after 3 weeks of not being assembled as a church? That the Lord just kept pricking my heart. Because then I could see there was no danger and I wasn't afraid of it. And I didn't see any practical danger for the church to assemble. And I said, well, I'll tell you something. I'm going to have to defy the government because God's not telling me to obey the government and not assemble as a church. So I couldn't do it any longer. I couldn't stomach it. God wouldn't let me go with it. Every day was bothering me. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do that. And I said after about 3.5 weeks or whatever it was, could have been close to four, on the fourth Sunday we met, I think, I was done. After 3 Sundays of doing that, I was like, nope, I'm not doing it anymore. And they're not going to make me either. And we had people call the cops on us to spy out our liberty. Let's look at that. 12 times. Hey, 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. How about that? What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants, big and tall. Does everybody know that song? Some saw, 2 saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Do you know that song? By the way, I've had some of these guys stop by too. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So, after that amount of time, I was like, well, I don't see anything here and I'm not afraid of this. So I got the cops called and they said, well, you know, Pastor Cooley, you can't be flouting the governor's orders openly. And well, that's a matter of opinion. And me thinks me can. And me thinks me will. And me thinks me did. Now, why? Because he doesn't have any authority over the church. That's why. Because the power of the church is the assembly of the church. It's the assembly of the saints coming together to edify one another. And then I got a call again. And they called me. Apparently, there were only like three calls for Northfield, and we might have been two of them to the snitch line, to the government snitch line. So, after the government snitch line, they called me again, said, now, we just want you to be aware of, I'm sure you're aware of the governor's orders. Yep. And I told them respectfully, and in a very clear way, that I cannot promise you that I will not defy the governor's order. I can't do that. And I said, if I have to go to jail, get a ticket, go to court, then I'll do that. But I can't promise you that. And I didn't. Because it'd be a lie. Because I had no intention of following it. Because the Bible's very clear about that the Lord is sovereign over his church. I've had police tell me a lot of things over the years. They told me I couldn't preach and talk about certain things, or in certain areas, or I'd be arrested. I've dealt with police ever since I really started preaching on the streets. But the purpose that I'm talking to you about this is that the church must assemble, or it's not a church. It is not a local New Testament church if it is not assembled. So then it must be assembled. And these churches are agreeing not to assemble, or they're agreeing to assemble under the rules of the government. How do we agree to assemble under the rules of a government and then call ourselves a New Testament church? The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. It is the Lord that is the sovereign in his church. It is the Lord that makes the rules for his church. It is not the government that makes the rules for the church. It is not the government that tells the church what they should do. Not to mention, they are lawbreakers. When the governor signed his edict, he was a lawbreaker. No, a church assembles. An assembly is a group of people that are assembled together in person. That's the difference. And I know, and I love you all, but I'm being honest with you to the text, and I'm telling you there is no such thing as a universal invisible church. You cannot separate God's word and his direction in the New Testament, in the pastoral epistles, and in the church epistles from the truth of a local assembly of called out believers. That's what a church is. That's a church. The pastor, that there's an office. There is authority. There is a working body. There is church discipline. This is a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church, and it is definitely a design to be a help unto you and an outreach to you to feed those that are scattered abroad that have no help, that have no one else to help them. It is meant for that. And that's why we do what we do. That's why you'll find most online ministries right? That's why most online ministries are carried away with every wind and doctrine, flying to and fro everywhere. And there's no stability. But the ones that are normally connected with churches are more stable, more normalized for the most part. And again, I would love for you online to have what we have here. The love we have for one another, the time we are able to spend together. I mean, we literally spend lots of time together. Now, Paul says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order in the steadfastness of your faith. He's writing to a group of people, and he's telling them he rejoices that he is hearing back from them, and he is beholding their order, that they are steadfast in the faith, that they are following God, that they are following the scriptures. And he rejoices in that. See, that's what God intended. But you know, a wolf divides up the sheep and scatters the sheep. Amen, Erica. It truly is. Because when you need help, Erica says, and she's a member of Old Paths Baptist Church. She says it's a blessing to have a local church. It sure is. Because all of us have needs. All of us have trials and tribulations. All of us need one another. And God is fitly joined and compacted. Look what the Bible says. Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. He is instructing the church of Ephesus. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called in the church, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. See, you don't have to learn this stuff outside of a church. You learn it in a church, practicing it together. I'm going to tell you, I've had a lot of people come, they visited here, some people have moved here only to find out, whoa, who I am gets revealed. I don't mean me, I mean them. Who they are gets revealed. And their flaws, and nobody's pointing a finger at them. I'm telling you, you have to learn in a body, in a local New Testament church, you have to learn how to adjust, how to sacrifice for one another, how to put away offense, how to practice New Testament Christianity. It's practice in the body. It's easy to do it online. It's easy to talk of love online. It's different when you got to practice it with people that you have differences with, that things come up, that challenges, that trials, that tribulations, that all those things happen and you have to deal with it. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's not hard to do when you only talk to people a couple hours a week online or give comments. Well, it's hard enough for some people. They can't get along long enough to do that. But when they get into a church, then it's tested. Then it's tested. When you have to actually endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, one of the most amazing things about our church, for the most part, we are here. A lot of times we are assembled all day on Sunday. And it sure is a long day sometimes, and it's my longest day of the week and my most involved and busy day of the week. Right? But we are together, because I came under conviction years ago about it. You know, we had some people traveling far distances, so I didn't want them to have to go home. But then I became under conviction about it, the conviction developed from that, I should say, that we give 6 days a week to the world, to our family, to everything else, to our jobs, in that sense. You know, so why not Sunday with the saints? Why not be assembled on the first day of the week all together in one accord, learning the Bible together, praying together, singing together, fellowshipping and eating together, our children playing together and rejoicing and enjoying each other's time, learning and being exhorted together. Is that one day too much to give up? It isn't. We rejoice in it. And you know, sometimes somebody's going to have something come up. I try to be done too, not to, you know, but if we're done, let's say at 5, because I like to teach like 3 times a lot. I'll preach once and sometimes I'll teach twice. Or sometimes, like this week, we need to pray as a church. We haven't done that in a little while, so we're going to pray as a church. We haven't done that, and we're going to, it's been about a month, and we try to do that once a month, come together, because it takes an hour or two when we all get together and pray. So, we're going to do that this Sunday. Have a time of prayer and have another session of maybe keeping the kids or something. It's probably keeping the kids this week. But, you know, we have that time together. And then, you know what? When it's over, a lot of times people are here anyway till late. So, there's power in that. There's power in that assembly. And that's what Satan's trying to keep from happening. You know, it's interesting because back when Russia behind the Iron Curtain and at other times the Soviet Union and other times, they would always want the baptismal rolls from the Baptist. They wanted to find out who was baptized. They couldn't find out really who got saved. They wanted to know who was baptized. And they would come in and break up their assemblies as much as they could. They would desire to break up their assemblies. Why? Well, look at what God said about that. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And by the way, that's water baptism. That's not talking about some spirit baptism. That is water baptism. Baptism of the Spirit happened twice. Maybe three times. But it was transitionary times. But the one Lord, one faith, one baptism It is water baptism. See if I can find something that I always chuckle over the way Luke made it. Here it is.
And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the promise of the Lord to his church. Now, if there's a promise there, if there was a promise given that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church, then there must needs have been a church all through time. There never could have been a time since Christ died and rose again from the dead that there was not a church. Long before your Protestants were known of, those horrible Anabaptists, as they were unjustly called, were protesting for the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. What is it, I ask you? What is the one Lord, one faith, one baptism? You think about it. What is it? It's not infant baptism.
I love that. Oh, Luke cracked me up when he made that, man. I loved it. I still play it all the time. I love it. Anyway, that's right. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I believe that to be water baptism. Otherwise, there's two. Otherwise, you're saying there's two baptisms right now, and there isn't. And I'm not a hyper-D. I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. I know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Okay. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, who's he talking to? The church at Ephesus. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, what am I trying to do? I want you to desire to have your own local New Testament church where you're at, in the city you're in the country, wherever you're at, that you have a church that is assembled together, that you meet together with the saints of God, that there's a pastor, a bishop, and then there's guidance and direction, and then there's, that's exactly what I desire. And I want you to thirst and hunger after what God wants for you. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Remember that happened? And some prophets. What was the church founded upon? The apostles and the prophets, right? And some evangelists. And some pastors and teachers. I believe these are pastors and teachers are probably similar to the same. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and of the perfect man. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's talking about the church. The local church at Ephesus. He's telling them what he wants them to be. How we should be. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. He's talking about the church. Fitly joined and compacted. That's what God wants for his church. Not to scatter them abroad everywhere. By the way, why aren't these separate churches? Why are all these campuses of some great big conglomerate metropolitanite? Why can't they have pastors and be separate and be their own assemblies? Right? Why should they have to be a campus of some other church? Why can't they have local rule and local authority and be autonomous churches? He said, this isn't, J.D. Hall said, or not J.D. Hall, but Reformation Charlotte says, this isn't a move born out of the desire for safety of the congregation. It's a capitulation to leftists who insist that the churches are to be blamed for the spread of coronavirus. Well, they got to pin something on the churches, right, to get them to stop assembling. Satan's got to do something. Oh, well, you got to wear masks and you can't sing. And if you're in search and such, then you can have this many people and that many people. I'm sorry, it's Christ that added to the church daily such as should be saved. Not the governor. Not the president. Not that Fox Fauci. Right? It's what happens when you invest too much power in people like that. Like Fauci and those other people. But see, so he wants to just kind of, you know, we'll just separate, we'll just disband the church until 2021. Really? You're going to disband your church until 2021? Why would you do that? County shuts down MacArthur's on-campus coffee shop. Well, now, under 501c3, they do have the authority to shut that down. That is a corporation. That is public health policy. Right? If it's real and they shut them down, they do have the power of public policy. Public policy is one of the most dangerous parts of 501c3 corporations. Their agreement with public policy. How about this one right here? Unless you wear a mask, you don't go into a store. I love how politicians want to lecture us on selfishness. You ever seen the wages they make? Right? Here's another example. Now, I'm not a football fan, so, but here's the point. NFL bans players from attending indoor church services but allows protests. Says no restriction about attending protests, though. Right? Like these football players. And they brag about how they're out in these protests. I feel sorry. You know, these poor black guys. I don't know what these poor black guys are doing. These poor black football players that are so mistreated for their race. I mean, these poor guys, they're only making like 4, 5, 6, 7 million a year. They're so, man, America's so racist. They're only making 4 or 5 million a year. You know, poor guys. I mean, I don't know how they make it. How's a black guy in the NFL to make it like that? I could see why he'd be over and, you know, talking about racial inequality. I could see how he would be. Right? Poor guy. All those poor guys make it, man. So then they threaten right here, California church concerned city may cut off utilities. Okay. Here's what I got for you. Let me ask you a question. If that's the case and they did, Well, why don't your whole church go rent out a field somewhere and go meet there? Why do you need that warm, cushy building right there? See, a local New Testament church can go meet out in a field somewhere. Right? They can go meet out in a field somewhere. It's perfectly fine. I'm sure MacArthur can afford some generators. He's got enough money. I think he got $2 million from the federal government, so I think he's got some money. Right? But what's it designed to do, to muzzle the churches? That's what it's designed to do. That's the whole point, right? If you don't follow us, you know, if you don't follow us, then after mass gathering with anti-police protesters, SBC Prez says church will not meet again this year. For the remainder of the year, this is what we were talking about earlier, for the remainder of the year, we will not gather in person at our campuses on the weekend. Our plan is to equip you to be the church in your homes. In your communities and online, in order for you to continue being disciple making disciples. So even when you can't come to church, you can still be the church. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. It's not even biblical. There's nothing biblical about scattering the sheep. Replacing actual corporate worship and discipleship with online talks while neglecting fellowship with the saints and personal interaction from pastors is not church. Pastors cannot lead their flock if they don't see them. There is no interaction. A key component of fellowship, there is no pastoral relationship. Greer is essentially turning his flock over to the pagan culture indefinitely and failing to lead his church. That's exactly what he's doing. Engaging. This information was last updated July 21st. When it comes to our plans for regathering, we are attempting to make wise decisions that both honor our governing authorities and bless our community. Wait! Wait a minute! What's missing there? What's missing there? It's not honoring God. That both honor our governing authorities and bless our community? What about the Lord? There's nothing about the Lord in there. For the remainder of the year, we will not gather in person at our campuses on the weekend. Our plan is to equip you to be the church in your homes. gathering for worship and prayer in smaller groups. This could look like inviting smaller groups to come to your home to engage with the service together. Seeing if people from your small group can watch a service outside in your backyard. Set up a projector in your front yard with popcorn one night and invite your neighbors to check out a service. Engaging others in intentional discipleship relationships. This could look like sharing the gospel and continue to engage with your one. With your one? What in the world does that mean? We'd love to hear the journey you're taking with your one. We would love to hear the journey you're taking with your one. Man, I'm sorry, but that guy is just gayer than AIDS. He is just absolutely the most fruity guy. That guy is a devil. I don't like anything about that guy at all, period. He is a wolf. That guy is an absolute wolf. Engaging in a men's or women's Bible study with small groups from your community. Committing to read through a book of the Bible with a new believer. We also have some resources for one-on-one discipleship coming your way at the end of summer. So, here's the thing. Does anybody notice anything about all of that? Because I did. None of this is a church. None of this is the assembly of the saints gathering together. None of this is about authority, about leadership, about a shepherd being over them. None of this is about that. Let's look at the survey. Oh, no. Bummer. I wish I could get the survey. I would love to see what that says. Here's frequently asked questions. What factors did we consider in our decision to not gather in person at our campuses on the weekend for the remainder of the year? You do understand this, right? August, September, October, November, December, 5 months! This is the head of the Southern Baptist Convention! What factors, as we have from the beginning, we are attempting to make wise decisions that both honor our governing authorities and bless our communities, but not the Lord. Factors we considered in this decision, the size of our church, the experience of other similarly sized, like-minded churches, maintaining unity, public health and safety, and guidelines of our governing authorities. Nothing of the Lord. Nothing of what the Bible says. Who made this decision and how did they make it? We have a task force of key summit leaders who work in consultation with multiple groups to make recommendations. The task force gathers wisdom recommendations and consults with medical professionals from our church, other similarly sized like-minded churches, and our campus and ministries. No Bible! No Bible! They never consulted the Bible! Who made the decision? That's who made the decision. Medical professionals made the decision! The government made the decision. do we think that other churches should follow suit? We understand that other churches have already begun to meet in person and know that these decisions are made prayerfully in consultation with leaders at their churches. We believe every context is different and that each church should have the freedom to make the decision that is best for them. Our decision is made for our local church context only. Yeah, right. He's the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. Why aren't we considering non-traditional services like drive-in or outdoor? In short, we are doing non-traditional services, and the non-traditional approach we are leading into is more of a house church model using Summit Online. There are great ideas out there, and we are excited to see some churches use them. For the Summit, we believe that it is the strategy that aligns best with our values for right now. As it is appropriate and safe, we do plan to facilitate additional gatherings, outdoor prayer meetings, baptisms, and fellowship. Do all of our campus have to regather at the same time? Can we do a campus-by-campus, even regional approach? Our shift in strategy through remainder 2020 applies to all Summit campuses. You shall not go against the collective. You shall not. Following the Holy... Wait. Following the Holy Spirit, we exist to create a movement of disciple-making disciples. The unified approach allows us to keep our movement moving together. Okay, well, there you go. There you go, right there. That's them. That's them, guys. So, gathering plans for 2020. There are none! They're not going to meet. They're not going to assemble as a church. They are going to allow the government to muzzle them. That's what they're going to do. Right? Well, if you don't assemble on purpose, you cease to be a church. Now, we understand in certain times of real danger, there may be a time for that. People really have sickness. It spread through the assembly. Something like the beginning of all this thing where we didn't know if they were lying to us or if it was true or not. You know, so basically, they're not going to baptize. They're not going to baptize people because of something that's not real. When the governor first put his edict in, it messed us up a little bit for about 3 weeks. After that, we were just like, I don't think this is real. I think we're being lied to. Or, I don't believe the danger is what they're saying it is. And we have to make a decision. And we have to follow the Lord. We were cautionary. And then we were just like, nope, not real. Right? Oh, boy. Oh, I'm just looking at Beth Moore's page right now. Let's see here. Boy, I'll tell you what. I'm telling you what, man, that lady. Yeah, I don't trust that lady at all. I haven't seen much from her lately, though. Probably because she can't preach in all these churches that are shut down. But maybe she'll preach online to them all, right? Maybe that's what she'll do. You know, God says the purpose of the church is to assemble together, right? To grow them in their most holy faith. You know, we learn to walk with God and a stronger walk in the church. That's what we're supposed to do. See, thousands of Christians today, millions, I would say, are very lonely people. Millions of people today are lonely, period. They have more access and more online, and they talk to more people that they don't know online than the people that are right in front of their face. Right? They don't know the people that are around them. And that's very dangerous. You ought to get to know the people that are around you, otherwise you live a very lonely life. Now, the local church is the same, that God instituted his church for one reason. To glorify God, to assemble the saints together for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. And today, that's despised. So people have ultimately read the Bible outside of the context of the local New Testament church. And I really think that's happened about the last 50 years, really, or probably less than that, 20 years, really strong. Maybe 50 years. Where they read the Bible outside of the context of God's churches. So when you read this as a bunch of people scattered everywhere across the world. But how are they fitly joined and compacted together? They're not. They're not fitly joined and compacted together. They're furthest from that. How do they edify one another and build each other up? How do you exercise the gifts? But all these things worketh that one and self-same spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. You know, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these things worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members that are that of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? See, here's the thing. What you have to understand, God gives gifts to every believer to be practiced and to be practiced in the assembly of the saints. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon them we bestow more abundant honor, and on our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. How can you have that if you don't know anybody? If you don't know them and you're not in the same church, how could you even possibly really do that in that sense? And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the churches, first apostles, secondarily prophets, those the apostles and the prophets, right? Thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that excellent way is love. That excellent way is charity. And that charity that suffereth long and is kind, it's exercised in the body. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. See, that's showing love. And what it is when you're in a church, when you're together in assembly and you meet every week and you have differences, and sometimes you have slight differences on some opinions, on some doctrines, maybe. I don't mean salvation thing, but just some slight differences or maybe something that you like, somebody else doesn't like. You got to learn to get along with people. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, that's what God wants. And that charity is practiced in the body. It's practiced in that local New Testament church. People that you see all the time. people that you have to work out your differences with, teaching your children to work out their differences with other children in the church, teaching that some families have a little bit different of standards, a little bit things they accept, teaching through those things, dealing with a pastor sometimes that's obviously not perfect, that sometimes does something that you don't like or says something that you don't like, or maybe overlooks something that you don't like, or somebody is more sensitive than others about something, all kinds of things. But learning to deal with one another. Learning to love each other through those things. See, that can't be practiced when you're always apart. It's practiced together in the Lord's churches. That's where it's practiced. So you never get to really share your gifts unless you're in a church around other believers. You also never get your charity tested. You never find out if you really have what's true about bearing all things, believing all things, and hoping all things. Right? You never get that really. That's never tested. And that charity that never faileth isn't tested. Because there's nowhere it's tested. But it's to be tested in the body, in his church, in his local New Testament church. That's where it's tested. And so many thousands upon thousands of believers either don't have one or aren't willing to submit to one. So they're willingly doing what J.D. Greer is doing, and they're keeping separated. And they're not assembled together, and it never gets tested. A pastor's patience gets tested in the church, dealing with sheep, that he suffer long with them and that he love them. That they suffer long with him and that they love him. Right? And that's God's design. But right now, Satan wants to just muzzle that. And keep the churches from assembling. Keeping them praying together. Keeping them from shaking the building in prayer. Or the field, wherever they're at. He wants to keep that. He wants to hinder that. He wants to stop that. That's his work. That's his goal. That's what he does. And he'll use government, he'll use phony numbers and all those things to try to force that and push that. He'll use all of it. Whatever he can to try to push that. Also to teach you a different design. Thousands of people have believed that they're a church online, and they're not. Churches assemble together in person. I didn't say they weren't saved. I didn't say they weren't children of God. I didn't say they're part of the family. They weren't part of the family of God. Because they are. But there's a difference in that in the Lord's body and his church and his body. And Satan would do whatever he wants to keep those churches assembled, whatever he can, to try to keep that from happening. All right, everybody. I think I'm done. I got out what I needed to get out. And hopefully, Lord willing, folks will listen and they'll be blessed by it. You know, churches need to stay open. Churches need to stay doing what they're supposed to be doing, serving the Lord. It's good that some of those mega churches aren't open because all they're doing is preaching a false gospel anyway, so it's not hurting anybody. It's probably better that they stay closed. The problem is what they're doing is not real. What they're doing is just giving us a bad name pretty much.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. And in the midst of tribulations, stand by me. Stand by me. When the host of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Steal away to Jesus.
steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, He calls me. He calls me by the thunder. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, He calls me. He calls me by the lightning. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay.
Well, let me just pray real quick for Big Whale's family or his friend, his friend, and pray for Danielle and a few others that have some prayer requests. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for everyone, and Lord, we just pray for them. And Lord, people have various different burdens on their hearts, and we pray for Danielle and her family, and we just pray for Big Whale's friend and those others that are out there, Lord, that are struggling, Lisa's vehicle, and the trials that, and the challenges that each and every person faces out there, Lord, that they'd like a church, some of them, right where they're at, and they don't have one. And, Lord, I just pray that you'd be with them. I pray that you'd guide them and direct them. I pray that you'd help them. And I pray that you'd comfort everyone and meet the needs that are on this chat today, Lord, and for anyone that is listening, Lord, that's struggling with some things. And Father, we just pray for your hand to be upon them in their lives. And we pray that you'd save all of our lost family members and friends, save the sinner nearest to hell, and encourage the saint and revive the backslider, we pray. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody. God bless you all. I love you. We'll hear from you soon Friday. Should be Friday, 11 a.m. Central Time. And hope you all have a good time and be safe out there. Take care of yourselves. Walk with the Lord. Amen. And we should be putting our sermon on tonight. Some of you will be in bed because of your time difference. But our sermon will go on tonight. Luke usually puts it on right away, the Wednesday night one before he leaves. So that'll be there. And we'll talk to you on Friday.